mine and yours. And you don't want to press your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 73. Sleep. Want. Sleep. Heading back down the caldera wall with Asahi, Zuko sighed. Sleep would be good. Not that he expected to get anytime soon. Not with fires replaying in his head. Though, who knew? Aang had said he was going to be taking Katara up to the Northern Air Temple today, so they could talk to Teo again. And the mere thought of Aang being somewhere else, where he couldn't set Asagitatsu off with a sneeze or a tantrum, was enough of a relief to almost knock him out right there. Sliding closed as he walked, eyes caught a glimpse of ghastly, writhing black. Zuko stopped, blinked, tilted his head back and forth, trying to figure out exactly what he was seeing. From the neck down, it looked like a girl in Earth Kingdom travel clothes. But above? Did a porcupine nest on your head while you were sleeping? Or did everybody clear out of the Fire Nation so fast you forgot your combs? Bite me, Sparky. Toph ran frustrated fingers through a poof of black hair, yanking knots tighter. Nothing wrong with a good coat of dirt. There is if Gia sees you, Zuko said wryly. Darn it, Toph should still be in bed. The way she'd curled up on a rock after the flames burned out and the aftershocks died down. If it'd been him, he would have slept for a week. Should think of a way to get her back there, somehow. She figured out a way to bend soil around here so it scrubs you coming off. She did it to Jinhai when he wouldn't come in for a bath. You should have heard him howl. Huh. Toph's fingers froze. Deliberately, she untangled them from knotted hair and made a couple of brushing motions that left her noticeably paler. Does everybody's brother and sister act crazy to each other? Zuko snorted, almost feeling up to laughing. You're asking me? For a moment, Toph just stood there, listening, like she couldn't quite believe he'd said that. Zuko was never sure which one of them started snickering first. Ew, Azula, nursery, Toph managed to get out. Dolls were lined up in siege ranks, Zuko snickered back, leaning on black feathers. Ladies in waiting were kunoichi. Shopkeepers and nobles got drafted. Forward, my minions! Kinda cute, at least if she didn't know I was there. Okay. This was awkward. You want to know about Azula? Toph pointed at his sandals. You shuffled your feet like Sokka does when he's trying to sneak around asking straight out. Then you got your stance set so you could punch or run like heck. Gotta be Azula. Yeah, awkward. Is she okay? Zuko blurted out. You were here, so the invasion didn't work, and Katara didn't say anything about Azula being dead, and she would, and that didn't sound good, did it? Toph stuck her tongue out at him. Dummy, you know Katara's nicer than that. She sucked her tongue back in and shrugged. Okay, you wouldn't know, but she is, most of the time. I'll take your word for it, Zuko said simply. Toph knew Katara. He didn't, not really. Chasing someone halfway across the world wasn't knowing them. Granted, he could predict that any time Katara thought about him, she wanted to break things. But she wasn't like that all the time. Just a lot of it. So, do you know anything? Zuko said hopefully. Katara said something about Azula was watching. She was doing what Sokka said you were doing, Toph said bluntly, keeping an eye on the whole battlefield. She grimaced. Your sister's scary, you know that? She figured Aang would jump in before he could think about it, and she almost took him down with just a chi blocker, and Man, I don't know what she said, but it rattled him almost as bad as Bossing Say going down. Dunno if you can do anything about that. What? Zuko swallowed the sudden lump in his throat. But she didn't hurt him? Physically? With Azula, you always had to qualify that. She left him alive. Yeah? Toph drew the word out. Sparky, what'd you do? There was no way this was going to sound good. I didn't think you were going to stick to Sokka's plan, Zuko began, trying to keep it simple. I didn't. Azula was in the palace. She finds things out. She finds everything out. She chased you all the way to Bossing Say. I thought you'd know. If Azula gets near your plan, you have to change it. He winced. Toph, I grew up learning the math we use to calculate eclipses. I thought everybody had to know that. Toph's toes tapped the ground. You thought Twinkle Toes knew he was heading into a trap. Ouch. I know, when you put it that way, Zuko knuckled along the side of his brow. We were talking to Teo after Hakoda left, and he said, never mind, I was wrong, but there wasn't anything I could do from here. He took a breath. So I sent a message to Azula. I asked her to consider, just consider, how a Water Tribe avatar might not be in the best interest of the Fire Nation. Toph's jaw dropped. Yeah, she's crazy, Zuko said grimly, hating the look on her face, hating how it hurt to even explain. Toph couldn't know how the bottom had dropped out of the whole world when he'd finally realized that Sokka wasn't pulling an elaborate ruse on the Fire Lord. Sokka honestly didn't know. She's vicious and she's cruel and she probably killed more people for annoying her than we all took out last night. But she's not stupid. Aang is an air monk. Bottom line, he doesn't want to hurt anyone. A Water Tribe avatar? With what they teach as proper revenge? Slowly he shook his head. She's my sister, Toph. She's evil and she's crazy, but she always, always thinks about her options. When somebody's dead, they don't give you any more options. You told her we were coming. Toph's voice wobbled. Zuko grimaced. She already knew. But you didn't know that. Toph was sniffling now, milky green eyes wet. You didn't know, and you told her, and she blew up ships, and she blew up people. It was awful. I wish I could have thought of something else. Zuko got out, hurting. I couldn't find another way, Toph. She was going to kill something. It was Aang or your army, and if she'd killed Aang... Spirits ticked off, Fire Nation wiped out in 16 years by a Water Tribe avatar, Toph snapped. Fists clenched, denying the water leaking from her eyes. I get it. No! Zuko slashed his hand across, a ripple of heat in the air. If she'd killed Aang, she would have killed you. Toph gulped, blinked another tear trickling down. If she targeted Aang, all of you would have tried to stop her, Zuko got out, weary to the bone. That's what sworn warriors of a great name do. And if any of them, especially a sworn bender, escapes an ambush that kills their lord, a sworn warrior doesn't surrender. He hides out, maybe for years, gets another raiding party and comes back. Hell, Toph, we have plays about it. The only way to take out a great name and have peace is to take out all their sworn with them. And you were a master bender. You trained this avatar. Azula would be stupid to leave you alive to get stronger and train the next avatar. My sister is crazy, not stupid. He gripped his cuff and swiped at prickling eyes. Forget strategy. Forget spirits. Forget all the good reasons. If Azula tried to kill Aang, she was going to go through you to do it. And if she did that, one of you, maybe both of you, You're my friend, and she's my sister. Asahi rumbled, nudging him with her shoulder. Zuko leaned into it, breathing in fur and feathers to blunt the tang of cold ashes. Words. Sometimes he just hated words. A gritty hand touched his. Zuko? He wrapped her up in one of Uncle's hugs, bristly hair and all, wishing he could just explain. Azula was like being tangled in a killer rose vine. It hurt, and he had to get away or die. But she was alive, she was family, and he couldn't destroy her without knowing he'd kill part of himself. And you're my friend. How can I let someone kill my friend? Steady and snarky and always willing to poke things. Earthbender. Heck, Toph was like one of the first rays of dawn climbing out of the sky to tickle every shadow into giving up its secrets. My friend. My family. How can I choose? Hugging Zuko was like hugging fire. Warm, but it hurt. Like Shidan, Toph thought. Only Zuko's all kinds of tangled up inside. Part of the tangle was hurt and sad that tasted like tears and echoed with the screams she'd heard when Asagi Tatsu was trying to shake apart. Another bit was relief, like wrapping a down quilt around you on a snowy morning. She was alive, his people were alive, and Aang had actually listened for a few minutes. A third part was the knot of need and needed, that burning like not enough air to breathe and tugged like chains. One way was Azula, another was Dragon's Wings, and two others were Shidan and Kin, and Toph and everyone helping her. And wrapped around all that need and want and hurt was a memory Zuko had tagged as, "This is like Toph." Fingers gripping granite as he climbed, trusting, feeling, more than sight as stone warmed and shadows shifted with the breaking dawn. Zuko thought she was like sunrise on mountains. That was kind of cool, but... Sparky? Ease up a little. Breathing's good. Ease up? The tangle of tears and chains fell away like it had been cut, and Zuko let go, backed off 3 steps, running into Asahi. Right, not Uncle. That wasn't appropriate. Oh man, now where had his screwy reflexes jumped to? 'Cause she could feel a tension in his stance that hadn't been there a second ago. And what was with the distance all of a sudden? You've been having nightmares. Zuko's voice was cool but worried. Ow, how do you know when you're not having a nightmare? When I wake up, I look for light. Smells. Toph wrinkled her nose. Nothing smells in a dream. How do you know about the bad dreams? Duh, he'd pulled a sheet on and snarfed it out of her head. After last night, everybody has nightmares. Or maybe not. Weird. He'd felt like Shidan for a minute, but he couldn't feel her. That sucked. They get better, Zuko went on quietly. After a while. I know what that sounds like, but it doesn't make you a bad person. Just someone who's still alive. Toph shuddered. If that's Uncle's advice, we've got to tell him he's crazier than Fong was. Oof, it was still hard to think that way. It's not, Zuko shifted, and after you sort of shrug and wave. Come on, I know a way to get to the Wens that dodges most of the triage areas. From the tremor of earth, his toes were gripping his sandal thongs hard. I can't do that again. Not yet. If Amaya wants to mend fences with Katara by healing some of the Earth Army so they can get out of here, that's her decision. Better if I'm not there. Not just toes clenched, Toph realized. That stance was definitely fists clenched, too. What's wrong? A resigned sigh. They're the enemy, Toph. We beat them. But they're my people's enemy, and they're wounded, and they're not gone. That's... I don't like it. Zuko took a deep breath and shook his head. I need sleep. Toph took a testing step forward, felt him fade back another foot. Darn, what the heck was so not appropriate about a hug? They're just hurt people now, right? You've got a treaty. I've got a treaty with Earth King Kuei, Zuko said flatly. General Fong wouldn't take orders from Ba Sing Se. Major Yi Lin? He knows we outnumber him now. Maybe he'll behave. Maybe. Zuko winced. I just want them to go away. My people have enough problems, and now Aang's here, and... Yeah, you like Aang. I'll just go drown myself under a waterfall or something. I shouldn't talk to people when I'm this tired. He trailed off, feet shifting as he straightened. Toph turned toward the black, gaping area that was the water below. Whatever had caught Zuko's sight, it had to be that way. What's there? The cone. Some of the weary embarrassment dropped out of his voice. Steam looks okay. Okay, good. Spirits, I thought Fong had killed us all. He cut himself off. Toph, reach into the caldera, just a little deeper. Eep. But this was Zuko's domain. He knew what he was doing. Maybe. Weird to reach into earth that crackled and warmed the further you got from the surface. Honored Asagi Tatsu, Zuko said quietly. This is Lady Toph Bei Fong. And the earth seemed to sizzle against her toes. Eep, eep, eep! I think she could help. There was just a little grin in his voice. She's the greatest earthbender in the world.
Sizzling, but not burning. Hope you know what you're doing, Sparky.
If you're willing, she could help us. If you want her to. Warmth, like sunlight through windows, wrapping around her like a badger mole's testing paw. A sense of movement in the air, like a massive snuffling breath. So, Zuko drew the word out. You mind if she walks around and has a feel for what needs to be fixed? I know she'll be careful.
Earth child.
It echoed in her bones, like she was hearing it through her skull, not her ears.
Be welcome.
Warmth slipped away, and Earth was only Earth. Zuko laughed just a little. I think she likes you.
So you just whirl it. Aang spun air between his palms, tighter and tighter. And then you go.
Seated on his air ball, he buzzed around the temple courtyard. And for the first time in way too long, he wasn't alone. There was Lanky Jing and Curious Ke and even Sima. Though that was kind of weird. A girl bending right along with everybody else crashing through the air. And Teo grinning off to the side with Katara, tossing his own mini air balls into the fray whenever anybody looked like they were getting carried away. Teo couldn't ride an air ball in his chair. Yet. But Aang was sure he'd figure out a way. Eventually. Grinning, Aang put his feet down just before the ball vanished out from under him.
You figured out all the rest of this from the scrolls?
Scrolls and long shui, Teo nodded, letting the breeze fade from around his hands. He's just as clueless as we are most of the time, but at least he knows when he's getting it.
Right. Put that together with some of the things Aang had seen the wind do as Zuko bent a pass full of fire. Yeah, he knew what Long Shui had to be. He's a Yaren. You know about that? Teo said cautiously. Aang nodded, still tangled up in knots about the whole thing. Yangchen told me. Two element benders. They're supposed to help the Avatar. So why is he here? That was what really stung. If the Avatar was supposed to have help from the spirits, not just friends who decided to help him on their own, he could have really, really used another airbender at the eclipse. Why hadn't Long Shui been where they needed him? Weren't Yaren supposed to serve the spirits? More important, why was Long Shui doing everything he could to stay away from Aang? He'd barely seen the Yaren. Sure, Long Shui had been there while the flames were dying down, wafting smoke away while Sokka and Appa looked for him along the rim of the caldera. He'd stayed while they dragged Aang to Katara so she could heal the bump on his head. Landing after that fiery updraft had not been fun. And then Long Shui had left, and Aang had no clue why. It wasn't that big of a bump. And why did it matter how he'd gotten it? He'd been trying to stop two armies from killing each other. But even though Long Shui had looked like he was listening to Aang's rapid-fire account of diving into the pass, he must have already made up his mind who was really right. That Sokka and Katara's version of why they were in the middle of a night fight in the first place, which Sokka apparently thought was Aang's fault for some weird reason, was the right one. And everything had just gone downwind from there, because he'd let Aang talk for about 5 minutes, then started shaking his head, curled his fingers into fists that got intercepted by a not very happy Saluan, and finally flung up his hands with a snarled, "Idiot!" and left, and couldn't believe he'd left. Sure, Long Shui was a waterbender, and maybe Zuko's people needed healers right now. And yeah, maybe Aang had said something about swords and benders who thought they needed weapons to hurt people, but Long Shui was using air, and airbenders weren't supposed to be violent. Ever. That was what being an air monk was all about. If Long Shui was an airbender, he had to put that sword down. Which was when Saluan had, if it was Sokka, Aang would have thought she'd kept Long Shui from trying to punch him out. Which was crazy. He knew what Long Shui was. But the Yaren had left. How could he do that? I'm the Avatar. You're supposed to help me. Two element benders? Katara's blue eyes were wide as teacups. That's crazy. If the spirits give you bending, they only bless you with one element. Yangchen said that's not always true. Aang shifted his shoulders. Sounded weird to him, too. She said the Avatar wasn't supposed to have to take care of the whole world all at once by himself. The great spirits find people who can help. Only they've just been dying. He swallowed a lump in his throat. They've been dying for a long time, so Kurok didn't have any help, and Kyoshi didn't, and Roku didn't, and that's part of why the world's such a mess. He closed a fist on his air staff, trying not to blow things away just because he was upset. But she wouldn't tell me who was killing them. Teo's gliders looked at each other. Kima gave Teo a look that reminded Aang of Sokka looking at Katara. Tell him, or I will. Teo took a deep breath and sighed. Yeah, I bet she wouldn't. Aang snapped his full attention to Teo. Why not? She was the Avatar. I'm the Avatar. Why wouldn't she tell me? Maybe because you're the Avatar? Kima muttered. Teo shot her a look and shook his head. Aang, it's not as simple as you think. Long Shui warned us about element starvation. in case one of our earthbending relatives got stuck up here and some spirits got ideas. If he's right, it's not any person killing them. He bit his lip. Aang, spirits hurt people to make them Yaoren. They hurt Long Shui. If he hadn't found Amaya, she's not a regular healer. She's a spirit healer. Without her, she would have died. One heartbeat drummed in Aang's ears. Two. That doesn't make sense, he insisted. Because it just couldn't, could it? He's right. Why would spirits give someone another blessing, then just let them die? Because, Aang shook his head, trying to shake away the thought. Brr. Aang? Katara's brows drew down, concerned. What's wrong? Oh, he really didn't like this, but she was asking. Shaman Tao said one of the reasons there's an avatar is because spirits don't think like people, Aang said reluctantly. And sometimes they can't tell people apart really well. Like Hei Bai. Sokka never hurt his forest. He was just trying to help me talk to Hei Bai. But the spirit took him anyway. Because Hei Bai was, well, mad and hurting. And it was humans that hurt him and we were there. He traced a toe through some of the dust that had escaped scouring winds. Or the Painted Lady. She wanted to help her village. She just couldn't. And she didn't want to hurt you, but she had to. Because she was a spirit, and spirits have rules, and... Oh. Oh. Oh, monkey feathers. You okay? Ko whipped across the courtyard to the inner wall, hauling back double fistfuls of carved wooden mugs of water. Air up here can dry you out really fast. You never see it coming. But you know that. Yeah, but thanks. Aang gave Ke a try at a grin and gulped down snow-cool water. Woof. Katara? Long Shui, he might have been right. In the middle of lifting her own mug, Katara glanced at him in disbelief. How could he be right? The spirits wouldn't set up people just to die. But they might not know people were going to die, Aang said reluctantly. All the other bending healers got lost. I guess spirit healers could be too. Yang Chen said Yaoren get pulled toward the spirits, and then they get pulled back towards people. And then they're a bridge. He gulped. So if the spirits do their job and tug people one way, but there's nobody left to tug them back, then humans aren't making their part of the bridge, and that's not the spirit's fault. Katara hugged herself against a chill breeze. But how can you say that? If there weren't spirit healers, then we couldn't do what the spirits want. That's not our fault. But it's what we have to do, Aang said, trying not to think of the incredulous fury that blazed in Long Shui's face. Trying hard. Because he was the Avatar, he had to fix the world, and he needed all the help he could get. But Katara and every one of his friends were helping him because they wanted to. They didn't. The spirits hadn't. It wasn't like he'd ever asked the spirits to... But I did, didn't I? Aang admitted to himself. I told Roku I couldn't do it on my own. I told him, and Kiyoshi, and Kuruk, and even Yang Chen. If the spirits want me to fix things, I'm just one kid. So he had asked. And when you asked the spirits for help, Ko, the Painted Lady, Temul, Yue fading away in Sokka's arms, Katara trapped behind a spirit's eyes, Sokka laughs gone silent and secret when he thought people couldn't see, coming back to camp bruised and singed when there wasn't an enemy firebender for miles. Ask the spirits for a favor, and there was always a price. And he was the Avatar. He wasn't the one who ended up paying. I think I made a mistake, Aang whispered. He didn't want to ask. He really didn't. He wanted everybody to be helping him because they wanted to be, but that's kind of what Fong did, isn't it? He thought everybody wanted what he wanted, even when they were screaming at him to stop. I'm not going to be Fong. I'm not like him. Aang swallowed hard. Teo, did Long Shui want to be a Yalren? Teo glanced down, winced, and shook his head. He didn't like talking about it, but he said nobody wants to be one. You just end up in the wrong place at the wrong time and the spirits take you. Oh, Aang whispered. Oh, monkey feathers. What did he do? This was wrong. This was all wrong, and it was his fault. He was the Avatar. No. No, that's wrong. Not my fault, Aang managed, trying not to look at anybody. I didn't do it, but I'm the Avatar. The spirits wouldn't have done that if things weren't so... He shook his head, hurting. So it's not my fault, but my responsibility? He looked at Katara, pleading. Tell me I'm wrong, please. Blue eyes met his, hurt and sad. Aang, I... Her voice died and she had to look away. I guess it is. Aang flinched. You're not supposed to say things like that. I'm the Avatar. I'm trying to fix things for everybody. You're supposed to... Tell him what he wanted to hear? Like Fong? I'm not him. I won't be like him. But it hurt. Only, maybe getting hurt was the right thing to do. Because he was the Avatar. When he made mistakes, when he just didn't know things, people could get hurt. A lot of people could get hurt. So he had to ask, even if it hurt. So, are the drowned my responsibility too? Whatever they were. Because with a name like that, he had a really bad feeling about this. What? No, Katara said quickly, crossing the courtyard to put a hand on his arm. Sometimes bad things happen to people, and it takes their spirits time to get over it. That's all. Her hand was warm and comforting, and he just wanted to smile back up at her. Things were going to be all right somehow. So, do we have to go back down the mountain today? Katara asked, gaze shifting away. I guess you have to, if you're going to learn firebending. But why do you want to learn firebending now? She did that on purpose. On the one hand, he couldn't help but feel grateful. He didn't want to be responsible for anyone else's pain. On the other, she wasn't lying to him. She just wasn't telling the truth. And he'd never noticed it before because she wasn't lying. Like Zuko's, I don't want to hurt you. Not a lie, but... And this was scary. Just... So way scary to think about. I don't want to didn't mean Zuko wouldn't. Air dodged. Water deflected. How many times had Katara deflected him? I don't want to learn firebending, Aang admitted. I have to. An Avatar has to master all four elements. If they don't, they're not really the Avatar, and the spirits won't listen. If I don't learn firebending, I can't lift Kyoshi's decree, and I have to. He tried to smile. If I can't master firebending, I can't beat Ozai. But if I do, then I don't have to beat him. I can just make him not the Fire Lord anymore. And if he's not, the Fire Nation doesn't have to follow him anymore. They can stop fighting. Silence. Only the whisper of wind over stones and Teo's low whistle. Aang, I hate to say it, but...
I know, Aang said in a rush. Fong, he could have stopped too, but I have to do this. There are people in the Fire Nation who don't want to fight anymore. If I'm the Avatar, I have to be everybody's Avatar. I have to try.
Deep breath. He had to get this right.
I know nobody's seen it for 100 years, but you've all been up here, where there's nothing holding you back but the wind, and how well you know it. Air is freedom, and we're going to bring that freedom back.
Even for the Fire Nation. Scary, scary thought. Because, well, freedom to stop fighting kind of meant freedom to not stop, didn't it? And what if they didn't?
I don't know, Aang admitted to himself as the others cheered and Katara smiled.
But Sokka says, sometimes you've got to kick the ice and start walking.
And if he didn't pick something to stand for, people like Fong would pick things for him, whether he liked it or not. So he had to find something he believed in, something he wouldn't run away from. Or maybe something he'd run away for, because he'd ended up frozen in the first place so the elders wouldn't choose for him, because he'd wanted his freedom. So I'm going to start with that. For everybody. And hope.
Katara watched the cheering kids sweep Aang inside for snacks and hugged herself against the wind.
I should have told him. I just can't.
Aang wanted so much to believe the world was fair, that he was doing the right thing. And he was. Helping the ocean spirit had been the right thing to do, and stopping the invasion of the North was definitely the right thing. And if there were Fire Nation drowned out there, it was their own blasted fault. Maybe he doesn't have to know. Because there was no way they were going to stay near Zuko. Firebending teachers or not, half those people down the mountain didn't like Aang. And how could you not like Aang? And the other half were confusing. Earth and fire and even a little water mixed up together. Who could live like that? Zuko's people were trying. When she'd been down there, last night, healing anyone she could. One of those long hours. She'd blinked, not sure whose burned man was under her hands. That had been scary. In the dark, you couldn't tell whose side was right. You couldn't even tell who you were fighting. How many more times would Aang have to fight in the dark?
Young! You said he was young!
Out in Amaya's courtyard, away from the most fragile of the wounded, Long Shui gripped his Saya in his offhand and tried not to imagine pulling the sheathed sword from his belt to beat a certain smug old firebender over the head.
You didn't say he was stupid.
Seated on the low wall around the yard, Selwyn smothered a snicker. For once, General Iroh looked taken aback.
I understand he has made a less than favorable impression on my nephew, young man. But as a Yauren of old, you must understand how your duty to support the Avatar.
My duty to what?
Long Shui bit out. Is that what the White Lotus thinks about us? What you've been telling Zuko? No wonder he hides when he sees you coming. He probably thinks you're going to make him train, Aang, because Agni forbade you actually do anything about your crazy brother.
Long Shui cut himself off at the firebender's startled blink. Subtle, hard to catch, but there.
You were! You frosted idiot!
Whatever your feelings towards the Avatar, Aang must be trained,
Iroh said impatiently.
You are bound to the spirits and will do your duty, as the Yauren did for Yangchen.
The Avatar has to be trained by a human!
that arched skeptical white brows. The best benders take their learning from the elements themselves, Iroh said sternly.
The best human benders, Long Shui shot back. The Avatar spirit isn't human. The spirit of the world becomes human, so it knows what being a human is. And part of being human means learning from human masters. Zuko can't train Aang in firebending. No Yauren can.
Damn. Damn it all, he hadn't wanted to say that. But Iroh has to know, Long Shui admitted to himself, feeling Saluin's startled gaze boring into the back of his head. He has to know what we really are, or things are going to get screwed up even worse than they already have. Zuko's a dragon child. Agni would never have shared him, even with Law, if there were any other options.
You imply, Iroh said heavily, that Yauren are not human.
We're not. Not exactly. Long Shui almost reached out for the spring running through the yard, but thought better of it. He'd save that for if the general got stubborn. We live like humans, we die like them, but our spirits are tough enough to walk on the edge of the world. That costs us. How could he put this into words? For a firebender whose only knowledge of Yauren was records older than Yangchen's birth. We can't bend like normal people. Our chi doesn't just touch one element, and it doesn't just move in this world.
Iroh seemed to pale a little. You are bridges to the spirit world, like the Avatar.
Not like him, Long Shui corrected. The Avatar is a spirit living in the human world, a spirit that can travel back to the spirit world for a while. We're humans acknowledged by the spirits. He grasped for words.
Look, Aang opens a door and steps through. He's on one side, he's on the other. He's here, he's there. He's bending elements, or he's walking in the spirit world. He isn't stuck.
Iroh folded his arms, gauging his reply.
And you are.
We're like cracks in the world, Long Shui managed. We're here. We're always here. But part of us is right on the edge of there, all the time. He grimaced. Part of our chi is touching the spirits. Always. And the Avatar can't learn that.
Which wasn't the whole truth, darn it. He's not supposed to contact the spirits that way. And he's definitely not supposed to learn mixing elements until he's got the four main ones down first. If we teach him anything, we teach him after he's mastered the four styles. And you know what? I am not teaching that brat anything. The icy rage threatened to flood him again, like spray from a winter storm. Give up my sword. Give up my mother's sword. Because air monks weren't supposed to kill. As if not having a sword had ever stopped an airbender who wanted people dead. And that made his head spin like a monster wave, gut lurching to the point Long Shui just wanted to find a corner to hide and throw up. He'd lived his whole life listening to stories of the peaceful air nomads and the evil Fire Nation burning their temples to the ground. Hyorin had grown up on the run from the White Wind Arrows, his family flitting from cove to cove under the cover of waterbent fogs and darkness, until the day a desperate waterbender had gotten caught in a forest fire and ended up with his soul burned raw.
We're Yauren, Kaze had said. We have to protect both worlds, but we can't do it without the Avatar. We have to find her. We have to teach her who she is and what she has to do. They'd had to break an air nun out of Xiangchen's keeping, keep her with them, and find her teachers, all the while running from Subode's hunters. With a grown woman who had all an Avatar's power, but who never so much as lifted a hand in anger, who hadn't even dreamed it was possible. Before he'd met Yangchen, Hyorin had hated air. after we broke her heart. We had to. We didn't have a choice. She forgave us all. But he'd never forgiven himself. Aang's not Yangchen. That was the only thing keeping Longchui from doing something crazy, like stocking up ice and snow to the top of that mountain and shaking him. Though right now, it was a firebender he wanted to shake. Even if he wasn't Yao Ren, you know who Zuko was, Longchui argued. Why would you ever ask him to teach Aang? Iroh regarded him from shadowed eyes, glanced at Saluan's curious face, and finally sighed. I have lost too many friends over the years. Should I not try to reunite an old soul with the friend he gave his life to find? The Kyoshi warrior flinched and looked away. Longchui swallowed hard, hurting inside. If he'd been able to live with his family again, even for a little while. You didn't think it through, Longchui got out, words like broken glass in his throat. An old soul. Kuzan gave his life to fix what Sozin shattered, to save part of the world Sozin and Azulon, and you were tearing apart, Dragon of the West. He did his best not to snarl. The nightmare you made, Kuzan lived. Aang slept through it all. Think about that. A 100 years. Aang touched down in the shadows near the shoreline, far from where the fires burned near Dragon's Wings docks, even at night. A lot's changed. I didn't want it to be that way, but it is. Sokka had tried to tell him. Katara had. Heck, he'd seen Bumi and it still hadn't sunk in. Though maybe that was because even 100 years later, Bumi was still Bumi. The same mad earthbending genius he'd always been. White hair and a king's robes hadn't changed that. What General Fong had been willing to do, though, and what Zuko had been willing to do to stop him, it'd been different when Shidan had killed Hama. Shidan was old, and Shidan wasn't human. Dealing with Shidan was like dealing with fire that walked and talked and snarled. He was dangerous just by breathing, and you figured that out or you got burned. Shidan didn't do sorry. Zuko, Aang took a breath and blew it across salt water to watch dark ripples cast glints of firelight. Zuko made him believe it'd been 100 years. The way he looked at Dawn, angry but sad, like Kuzan when... Oh, Aang did not want to think about that. But he couldn't forget it. Kuzan's face through Timul's eyes when the Lord of Byakko knew he was dying, when he'd killed people he cared about, people he'd saved... Because every Onmitsu left alive was another that might go after his family. Another air nomad who'd served Azulon when the Fire Lord was burning down the world. It was scary, but part of Aang wondered if Kuzan hadn't wanted to die. There'd been so much pain there. Pain he'd seen before, in a mirror. I can't do this anymore. Only... Kuzan hadn't given up. He'd fought down to the last moment, the last breath, telling Pian Dao the Fire Nation wasn't the Fire Lord, challenging him to choose. Aang sniffled and scrubbed at his eyes. Kuzan hadn't given up, but Kuzan had been older. He'd been an elder, and elders were supposed to make the hard decisions. And I'm not. I'm just a kid. I shouldn't have to do this. Surf shushed up on the shore, uncaring. No, not quite uncaring. There were flashes of light in the water, purple and blue spreading upward to join a pale white glow from the waxing moon that billowed and flowed into silk and snow-white hair.
Yue! The moon spirit reached out, brushing cool light across his reaching fingers.
You are not alone.
It was something he could hold on to, like a lantern in the dark, but it still hurt. If we'd been faster, if we'd just made Zhao stop, it's not fair.
He chose his actions, as the ocean chose his fate, and I chose mine.
Yue shook her head.
Even spirits can't make the world fair, Aang. We can only try to make it right.
It staggered him. He had to lean on his air staff. He wasn't sure Yue could have said what she just said. It's not fair. I can't fix the world. It's too big. Which had made him want to scream and want to hide and want to just run away from everyone. Because some things really were impossible, and if he had to splat himself against a mountain, he didn't want Sokka and Katara and Toph getting splatted with him. But Yue was saying he couldn't make things fair.
We need the Avatar, Sokka had said, what felt like forever ago. But more than that, we need you.
I don't have to fix everything, Aang got out, almost a whisper. But I have to stop the Fire Lord. I have to stop the war.
Her fingers curled around his, flowing light.
You must stop the Fire Lord. Stopping the war, that will be the work of a lifetime.
Aang's knees gave out. He thumped down into damp sand, clutching his air staff like one of Appa's horns. Because, yeah, Yue had said stopping the war would take his whole life, and thinking about the killing going on that long was horrible. But he didn't have to fix it all at once. And that meant he could get people to help. All his friends could help. And they could do it a piece at a time, city by city, general by general, if they had to, as long as it took, even if it took years. And that meant he could do it the way Master Gyatso would want him to do it. Not like Kyoshi tearing apart an island just to stop one general. Not like Grogu blasting Sozin's palace and then just leaving the problem behind, thinking he'd fixed it. And not like Zuko, because Zuko's eyes were like Kuzan's, so angry and sad. He didn't want to have eyes like that, ever. You're not me, Zuko had said, which had seemed so silly. It was so obvious. But it's not obvious, Aang realized out loud. It's like one of Master Gyatso's koans, the ones about the tile. Pale braids drifting on the wind, Yue raised curious brows.
I don't know that story.
North Pole, ice, yeah, but it's an old story. Aang hunted in memory. There's a student who finds his elder meditating and asks him what he's doing, which I thought was kind of obvious, but the elder says he's cleansing his soul so he'll be enlightened. Aang grins, remembering the wicked way Gyatso's eyes had twinkled at this part. So the student picks up a tile and starts polishing it with his robe. The elder tries to keep meditating, but we're air. We've got to poke things. So he asks what the student is doing. The kid says, I'm polishing this tile to make a mirror. Yue laughed like a whisper of waves. Right? Aang grinned. The elder, scratching his arrow, totally lost, and finally says, it doesn't matter how long you polish it, you can't make a tile a mirror. And this hadn't made sense before. Now it did. And that's when the kid throws down the tile and says, it doesn't matter how long you keep cleansing, that doesn't make you enlightened.
As the tile shattered, Gyatso's voice murmured in memory, the elder was enlightened.
A tile's not a mirror, Aang said, amazed and relieved. I'm not a great warrior, or a general, or a king, or anything like that. I'm me. I've got to stop the war like me, by finding out what's wrong and how we can fix it. He smiled at Yue. Maybe it wasn't impossible. And maybe kicking a little butt. After all, I am the Avatar. Laughing, Yue stepped back into the light.
Be careful, little brother, and good luck.
Clouds moved across the moon and she was gone. I'm me, Aang repeated, the words like dropping lead weights away. Man, I feel so stupid. At least he'd figured it out. Better late than never, Gyatso would say. Okay, so if he was going to end the war his way, then he needed to know what was actually going on, including the stuff Katara had skipped around telling him. There's something going on with the water down here, so she doesn't want me bending it, Aang reflected. And bad stuff happened, and people's spirits needed to let go of it. So he could fix that, right? After all, she'd said spirits, not ghosts. So whatever was down here wasn't like Timul, and he could do something. He was supposed to be a bridge between the spirits and the world. He'd better bridge. But if it's people's spirits, I'm going to have to make my power quiet, Aang thought. Just stay quiet and listen. Hard to do with the hiss of flames burning yellow and blue from gas bubbling up through the water. Seriously, what was everybody here thinking? Sure, Fire Nation ships were made of metal. Other nations' ships weren't. How could this place claim to be for everybody when fire was burning so loud it drowned out the water? With a two-handed push, Aang flicked a wave to douse the flames. There. Now it was quiet. So breathe in and breathe out and hold everything still. Something was moving under the water. Katara said they were drowned, Aang reminded himself. If they want to talk to me, I guess it makes sense that their spirits would come up from the rusted red armor, dripping seaweed, dank with a stench that turned his stomach, trailing from blackened flesh and gnawed bones, blind white holes instead of eyes, some writhing with sea worms and things. Those aren't spirits. And they didn't look much like talking.